if you move forward with the proposal to cut bus service, I'm not going to know how I'm going to get to work.
Lo que el personal del NTA llama recortes para eficiencia, para miles de personas como yo hacen la diferencia.
So what staff calls efficiency cuts make a ton of difference to people like myself.
Entre ganando la vida y no ganando la vida.
And it makes the difference between earning my salary or not earning my salary.
Por favor, les pido que no rechacen la propuesta de recorte de autobús.
I ask you all to reject the proposal to cut bus service. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric, and then Joanna Caspar, and then Sandrina Smith.
Good morning. My name is Eric. I've been a bus rider for over 20 years. Currently, I have a job where I have to rely on the public transportation system to get me around because I go to different places and do security. Right at this time, if you cut out these lines, it will make it a lot harder for me to do my job. There's a lot by cutting some of the rapid lines, you are also making more of the current lines more crowded. Not to mention by cutting some of the lines in the valley and stuff, which already take about an hour to get to. Take about an hour waiting time, a half hour to an hour waiting time, it would increase this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Joanna Caspar, Sadriana Smith, and Ronald Collins.
Hi, my name is Joanna Gaspar, a member of the Bus Riders Union and a college student. I'd like to thank Mayor Villaraigosa for introducing the motion. 70,000 hours of bus services are being shortlined and trip thinned, demonstrating the lack of transparency by staff to the public. These are not cuts to an efficient service. They're cuts, they're invisible cuts to lines throughout the county. Many riders wake up in the morning not knowing that their lines are going to be either eliminated or shortlined. The staff doesn't know the burden that they put on workers, students, and daily riders that have to find different routes to get to work, school, and the doctor's appointment on time. Directors, SMC students are facing these situations with shortlining of the 720 and the 30, which are buses that connect us to the blue line that gets us to school on time. Knowing that our lines are less frequent or that they will no longer run, increase our travel time and limit our options of achieving an education. This agency adds barriers to education because now I either have to get up earlier to catch the bus and hope it's not packed or miss my morning class and face a possibility of being dropped. Directors, I urge you to delay the service cuts as this will only hurt workers, but it would also work the students and riders as well. And just as a side note, I've been on the 720 during rush hours, and it does not take 9 stops for me to get a seat. It takes longer.
Sandriana Smith, Ronald Collins, then Kimberly Richards.
Hi, my name is Sandrina Smith. I'm with the Bus Riders Union. I greet you all in divine love. Unfortunately, everyone in the world cannot afford a car and insurance. I believe we need to think about our elders that rides the bus that doesn't have anyone, our students like myself that rides to better their education. I'm asking today that the board of our elective leaders reject the proposal to cut 300,000 hours. And I also want to say, right now I'm on my way to an interview that I have to ride the bus. I do want to better myself and get a job and have a career. But if you guys eliminate the bus, then I will be stuck living a statistic, correct? So I thank you guys and God bless in making the right decision.
Ronald Collins, Kimberly Richards, followed by Refugio Cuco. Okay, Kimberly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Kimberly Richards, member of the Metro San Fernando Valley Service Council since its inception. I presume the reason you board members keep me on my service council is because you believe I know what I'm doing, that I understand this subject, that I will always try to do the right thing, both for our agency and for our customers. It's a difficult balance, but it is better than listening to the rhetoric of the bus riders union, because Mr. Walsh.
Please, if you talk, Kimberly Richards, talk this way, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're undoing the consent, their gains under the consent decree. The consent decree has been over for 4.5 years. And as Mr. Leahy has said, we have a different ridership dynamic than we had during the consent decree. I have vetted this entire service change program. These changes make sense to me. Let us not unnecessarily delay this.
Thank you. Thank you. Refugio, and then Paz, Jane, and then Maria Teresa Rosales. Is Refugio here? Paz? Paz here?
Buenos días. Yo soy una usuaria de los autobuses. Mi nombre es Paz Jaén.
Okay. Good morning. I'm a bus rider. My name is Paz Jaén.
Estoy pidiendo a la Junta que rechacen la propuesta de los recortes de autobuses porque están perjudicando especialmente a las minorías.
I'm asking the board to reject the bus service cut specifically because it's impacting minorities.
La gente que trabaja, que van a estudiar, también tienen que esperar mucho más tiempo para llegar a su destino.
People that work and that go to school have to wait a long time to get to their destination.
El precio ha subido mucho, no pueden tener un carro, la gasolina está muy cara.
The price has increased a lot, and they can't afford a car. Gas is too expensive.
Muchas personas tienen pocas horas de trabajo o no tienen trabajo y andan buscando dónde ir a trabajar.
Many people have very few hours of work. They're looking for jobs. They have nowhere to go.
Y para usar el autobús tienen que pagar mucho dinero para andar buscando. Si no tienen trabajo, no tienen cómo ir.
And to use the bus, they have to figure out where to get money. If they don't have a job, they're not going to be able to travel.
Tengan consideración con esas personas que tienen poco trabajo, personas mayores, que ustedes, ninguno de ustedes anda en autobús.
Be considerate to those people that have no jobs, those people that are elders. You, none of you ride the bus.
No entienden cuál es el problema de que tienen que esperar tanto tiempo. Cuando yo tengo que venir para acá, tengo que tardarme más tiempo porque tomo dos o tres autobuses.
You don't understand what it's like to wait. When I come here, I have to take 2 to 3 buses and it takes a long time.
Así que por favor tomen en cuenta a las personas que necesitan el transporte. Gracias.
So please be considerate to those who use the buses. Thank you.
A pause. Paz?
That was Paz.
Okay, Maria Teresa Rosales. Okay, Blanca. Blanca here, Zaka.
She's not here either.
Rosa Vendel. Augusto. No, not. Augusto Malicio. Worth Baker. That's it.
Mi nombre es Melesio Augusto.
Go ahead and pull the microphone up, please.
Mi nombre es Melesio Augusto. Yo tomo el bus para ir a trabajar y pues les pido a ustedes que no hagan ese recorte para todas las personas que tienen así.
Para el señor, para que pueda traducir.
¿Cuál es
Melissa Augusto.
My name is Melissa Augusto. Is the microphone on?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I take the bus to work every day. I'm asking you not to make these cuts.
Y pues les pido a ustedes que no hagan ese recorte para que así no pues paramos mucho tiempo en esperar el bus.
I am asking you not to make these cuts. We take we stay standing a lot of time just waiting for the bus.
Y es todo lo que yo puedo decir.
That's all I want to say.
Okay, Worth Baker, please.
Hi, I'm Worth Baker. I was just curious, when you guys make these efficiency analysis, how much value do you place on people's time? Like, how much per hour do you place on people's time? Like, $1 an hour or three? Is that going to your calculations at all? The other question would be, when you talk about efficiency, it sounds like you're talking about moving freight and not people. It's really more like, how many sardines can we pack on there? I mean, when I read the article in the LA Times on Sunday about wanting a load factor of 1.2 or 1.3, it just is boggles my mind. If you have a choice of driving your car, you're going to drive your car. No one wants to stand. I mean, would you guys like it if you came here and 20% of you had to stand the whole meeting? I mean, probably not. Okay, and the other question is, did it ever occur to you that maybe if you doubled the frequency of the bus, that you might get 4 times the rider because it becomes usable? And people would stop using cars because it'd actually be a very usable system if you guys double the frequency. You probably get, I think you guys are just cutting things down and you're just chasing people into cars.
I try to, yeah. All right, the item is before us. Supervisor Molina.
Thank you. Chairman.
Pardon me? I have no more speaker cards. Sorry.
Hi, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Supervisor Molina.
You know, and this is an issue that has this contentiousness of with the Bus Riders Union, and I am not trying to move forward their agenda. I think there are legitimate issues that are raised on a regular basis, but I think it has to be substantive. It isn't just don't cut. You know, I mean, we're in a situation where we do need to look at how we're going to trim down operations across the board so that, in fact, we can put our rail lines on and our other service hours. But I am interested in how each of these lines are reviewed. And I do trust that the service sectors that really do, I know my appointee and the people that I look at do a tremendous job of reviewing all of this, and they're very conscientious as to how they look at these lines. That's why I've asked the question about how do we approach it. Do we approach it as a budget cut? Do we approach it under parameters of duplicative service, of efficiencies, of taking lines down now that we have rail? I think it's important for us to develop those kinds of parameters. But I am concerned about the cumulative amount of cuts that we have seen at the end of the court order. Now, this is not to diminish any of the tremendous work that has been done by the service councils or by your office. It's not to diminish any of that. But for example, in one of the lines that I'm asking a question of, they're eliminating a bus rapid on, I guess, line 741 is a bus
Soto.
Rapid.
Soto.
Eliminate. Yeah.
Soto Street.
I'm sorry?
Soto Street. Rapid.
Soto, yes. What you're doing is you're eliminating the bus rapid so everybody will go back to the local, which is not a problem, but it includes over 3,200 bus riders. And so what I'm interested in, and they say they're going to add more buses to accommodate them. Hello. I'm talking to Mr. Leahy. They're going to add more buses to accommodate these cuts. But never does it show up in here that you're adding buses. Now, I think that would be worthwhile to know, because I know you're cutting it, but how many buses are you adding to accommodate now that you've eliminated the bus rapid and there's 3,200 people that are going to be affected by this? And you say, well, take the local lines. I can understand that. But that's an awful lot of people to accommodate on the present level of buses. So...
Right.
insured, but it's not on here.
Okay, I apologize for not being clear on those cases. In the case of the rapid services, if we are proposing to eliminate the rapid line, we'll add back as much service as we need to on the local line to be able to make sure that we can carry those people. So on.
That's not, I mean, is it two buses? Six buses? The reason I'm asking you is, I appreciate it. I can't buy into, I need a bus to get wherever I'm going. That's not acceptable. You know, I'm going to lose my job if there's not a bus where I need to go. I appreciate that's an honest problem, but I am concerned when you had 3,200 people riding a bus, you're now going to eliminate and said ride the local, fine, but that's going to pack up the locals. So the work in the motion that was introduced by Director
Wilson.
I know that we don't want to delay it, and there's been a cost associated with delay. I don't know completely what the delay will be. I'm not interested in delaying it for the purposes of delaying it, but I am interested if, in fact, we don't have all of the information and some of these parameters. First of all, I want assurances that it's not a budget cut for budget cut purposes. Duplication, service that isn't as effective, creating efficiencies, and trying to reroute people in a way that's more effective for everyone. If someone has to walk a half a mile, if that's documented somewhere, because it was just stated, I don't know that it's documented somewhere, that's sort of an unfair situation. But is it one person? I mean, there's a lot of people that have to walk a half a mile. I mean, we don't guarantee that there's a bus in front of your door. But I don't know if in the comments that were made at these hearings, but can I ask in this motion that we put together, and I know we don't want to have a delay, could we, without any expense to the program, say that item number one under this motion, which is the recent service changes and asking for the cumulative total, the quality metrics, as well as how the savings are used and reinvested into the line, which we don't have today. By the way, we don't have that today. And item number three, which is service levels, which talks about all of these additional service issues, including Metrolink and the total transit service that we have. Could these two items come back to us next month in a way that answers these two questions? The others are much long-term because of future service changes. We have service quality costs. I could appreciate that would take longer.
The MTA board met in closed session and took the following reportable action. Item CS2, conference with legal counsel pending litigation. Item 1, Wang versus MTA, case number BC432787. The MTA board approved a settlement in the amount of $480,000. Item CS2-2, Redmond versus MTA, case number BC425430. The MTA board approved a settlement in the amount of $325,000. The board took no further reportable action. That concludes my presentation.
We're done. That you couldn't move forward with, what is it that you do in 1 month under these service cuts that would delay you? You're not putting the...
They're making the schedules.
I'm sorry, but you don't eliminate the line. You said the line will be eliminated in December.
No, the
I'm sorry?
They have to do the schedule work, and they have to advertise it for
and
the employees.
I'm just saying, all of that can proceed. 30 days. I mean, the schedule work and all of this thing, I don't think it would be that difficult.
The issue on the back end work that we have to do is that we have to redo the running times, we have to redo the schedules, and then what we do from a technical perspective is block the buses. We tell each bus, what is that bus going to do throughout the entire day? Then we have to cut the blocks up into operator assignments based on the crew cuts. It's a lot of technical stuff to get to a bid package.
Technical paperwork, computer, but people processes. It isn't eliminating the line, okay? The line will be eliminated down the line. I'm not prohibiting from him starting to do that work. I don't know that this is going to dramatically change. I think right now if I asked on the Soto Street line alone that I don't want to see the cut until I get assurances that those buses are going to be replaced, but we don't know how many buses as yet.
Those buses will definitely be replaced. It'll be more than the two or three. And in fact, what we do on a regular basis.
Wait. Uh-huh. I understand you're saying that to me. But it's not in this, okay? I don't mean to be disrespectful. It says we're cutting it. No Sunday bus rapid.
Okay.
So they're going to go on the local line. Fine. There's 3,200 people that use it that day. So how many more buses will they add? This is not a hard thing. I mean, I just think they can continue. The point is that we're being put in a situation where I know you have done an awful lot of work, the service folks have done a lot of work, and I appreciate it. I'm not dismissing it. I'm just saying we got this in the last month. We've been looking at it, asking some questions. We're concerned about the cumulative effect. I'm not trying to deny that we're going to have some of these cuts in place, because there is duplication, Expo's coming online, those lines need to be cut. I'm just asking if it could be. I don't think it'll hurt your delay. You could still put it in place by December, which is when you actually start the service, when you have the money that you will save.
The service change right now are aimed at June, which is about 8 weeks after the next board meeting. The process required to do those changes cannot be done in 8 weeks. So if
there work that they could be doing now,
we get us caught between first and second. Then, if Conan does schedules, assuming the changes will be approved, and then they aren't approved, then he has to back up and undo all that work.
No, but I don't think. Again, I'm not trying to say they're not going to be approved, all right? I'm not trying to buy into a delay to build support to not approve them. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to get justification from my point of view on some of these issues have legitimately been raised, including the one in my area. And I'm not saying my area is so pure. I only know that's the only one I looked at. But I'm sure my colleagues may have questions on some of their lines with regard to it. But Art, keep in mind, this is one presented 6 months ago and let us mill it over. We got this information about a month ago. Right. I know that it went through a laborious process through the service sectors. I'm not dismissing that work. I'm just saying for our review, I started asking my questions 2 weeks ago on this line, and now I've been assured that buses will be added. I just don't know how many. Now, on this other aspect, this information should be provided on item number 1 and 3, should be part of the package. We should know these things.
We're quite prepared to provide the information.
Something about cooperation. You know, I cooperated with my colleagues here on all aspects of bus operations before we got into a lawsuit. Okay? With people telling me not to worry, no sweat, this is all going to work. We were delayed for almost 12 years under that lawsuit. I don't want to get under it again. If there are instances where it takes 30 days just to get assurances for this board, I don't want to make an uninformed decision, and I feel like you're pushing me a little bit to do it. Not that the process wasn't valid, okay? I'm not trying to. I'm just saying you could start the paperwork, technical, computer operations, schedule reviews, all the kinds of things. I doubt that this information is going to say to me, oh, no, that's not a valid service cut. I doubt that's going to happen.
Well, I'll positively guarantee you that what they will do on the line that you mentioned is look at what the ridership is, and then they'll figure out how many buses are required to move those passengers. And that's a mathematical function.
That should have happened on the front end. I don't mean disrespectful, Art. It's just that I've been here a long time, and there were different people sitting in that seat. providing me those same assurances. So I don't mean to be disrespectful. It did land us into a court lawsuit. I don't want to go there. But I must tell you, some of these basic questions need to be asked. And I know the service sector people have asked a lot of these questions. Just provide it for my assurance. I'm not trying to create a delay.
Well, please understand, I would not offer the assurance to you if I didn't believe it and intend to do it. Because you're going to find out that I didn't live up to my word. I would not put me or my coworkers in that position.
Don't put me in that situation about who's... You're saying the other people were lying to me. That's not an appropriate thing to say.
Mr. Chair.
Wait. Excuse me. I got people signed up. Thank you. Mr. Katz, and then the boy.
Quick question for staff. The legislature recently passed and sent to the governor the reenactment of the fuel tax swap that they enacted. Anyhow, they enacted 2 years ago that fell apart as we all thought it would, but it's now been cleaned up and corrected. Have you taken into account, in terms of budget projections, the dollars that are coming from that now as part of that SDA settlement? Is that worked in here? I remember asking David Yale how much money that was generating. I mean, it's not the answer to all our all our problems, but
Paul. Director Katz, that is being counted on for the coming fiscal year.
So that's already in the mix.
It's already in the mix.
Hey, Director Du Bois, and then Director Fasano.
Let me ask if this will satisfy what Director Molina has proposed. And my suggestion would be that we go ahead with the original motion, adding in there the items 1 and 3. And if we're not assured by the answers we get on the items, it can certainly be reconsidered at the next meeting.
So you said we would get the information in item 2 and 3 by next month?
I heard that we can...
That would be satisfactory.
Can we get the information on the items she asked for by next month?
Yes.
So we could pass the motion, if you will, and if we were not happy, we could move to reconsider, which would give you what you need and give us what we need.
If the board approves the action today, we would proceed on that basis. If the board changes that at some point in the future, we will do our best to figure that out. Our recommendation is to proceed with this. We will get the information, and I believe that it will be satisfactory as regards the specific questions being raised.
And it doesn't matter if it's part of the original motion. We're going to have it anyway.
All right. Director Fasano.
Would come by next month. And plus...
Sure. Yes.
Director Fasano.
I just want to suggest this go to the Operations Committee next month so that people can see in advance of the board meeting and get some comfort whether they're okay with what they have seen or what's been proposed. The other issue...
But what go to the operations? This whole thing?
The 1 and 3 come back to the
operations
committee before they come to the board. And then the issue of the buses added, I mean, that's got to be handled during this same rescheduling process that you're discussing here. That as you're rescheduling and doing the shakeups, that information is going to be there. So we're going to know soon enough what you actually did when we asked these questions. I think it's pretty clear from the comments made at this board today that if when the final shakeups and the adjustments are made for May and June, that if service has not been added, and it doesn't pass the test of what has been suggested here about the replacement service, that you're probably going to see some bus additions back on the subsequent agenda with us red-faced about inconvenience to passengers.
We'll provide information. It's doable that the headway business, the number of buses required, is a mathematical calculation that Conan's staff will complete.
Thank you.
Yes.
Let me share with you why Director Molina and I raised this issue of taking a more in-depth look at what we're doing here. You know, if this was just the budget cuts that are being proposed here today, that'd be one thing. But I think the strongest argument that really requires a very deep review and a deep understanding of what we're doing here is the cumulative argument. I mean, these are cuts upon cuts upon cuts that have reduced service level and revenue hours over time. And while it's true that since we've done this motion, some of the questions have been answered, right now, I am not convinced that moving ahead with these cuts is in the best interest of the bus riders and other people, I mean, the transit users that use our system, and very importantly, of the bus system we've created. I mean, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we were, the APTA called us the best. We're the best bus system in the United States, right? We got the best our transit property, and primarily for the changes that we've done in our bus system. We should all recall that. I mean, that's a long way that we've come from the days when, you know, we were sued, from the days when our bus system was considered, you know, inferior. And I know for me, and I think for most of us, we're very proud of the fact that we had attained that status. I think we, you know, well, and while I think you have answered some, or answer, in the process of answering some of these questions, for me, I look at what we've been able to accomplish, and I know some people here are completely against, you know, building, you know, a rail system. You know, I'm obviously not there, but I do believe that the only way this system is going to work is you got to have a first-class bus system with a first-class rail system. It's the only way it works. Because people got to want to get on both. You're never going to be able to walk very few people, unless you live on top. Well, actually, I guess some people will be able to do it, because some people will live in transit-oriented districts and they'll live on top of the subway or a light rail line. But, you know, but most of us are not going to be able to we're going to have to take a bus to get there. And so I guess what causes me the most concern here is, you know, not just these cuts in and of themselves, but the series of cuts that we've done and what it's going to do to deteriorate the bus system as we know it today. And so that's why I did this motion with Director Molina, and why I think, even with some of your answers, and I've reviewed this, you know, with the CEO earlier in the week, my staff has reviewed this as well, with some of your answers, I'm not convinced that all this does is consolidate and make more efficient. I think it has more of an impact than this report would indicate. And while I know that there's a number of board members that feel differently here, and not suggesting that because there's a difference of opinion that some are for bus service and others are not, I can't find myself at this point being convinced of the argument that this is the way to move forward. Now, if there aren't the votes to do, if there are the votes to stop this, I would prefer doing that. If they're not, then at a minimum, I do think we should do what Director Molina said, and that is that we should be looking for answers to those other two questions, because they're important ones. They really are. And no matter what we do, we ought to put an evaluation component to all of this, because, you know, if an independent analysis of our bus system is that the cumulative effect of all these cuts is that we've degraded the bus system to back to where we were in the 90s, then, you know, shame on us. We shouldn't be in that situation. So that's my biggest concern right now. I just don't think that. And I know you have answered some of these questions since we first raised this to you. But I just don't think we've answered all of them. And I'm still not clear that we've answered them looking at the, you know, cumulatively. You know, we've answered them with respect to this proposal, but when you look at what we've done over time, you know, we really haven't analyzed that. You know, we've done it piecemeal each time.
This is the most comprehensive review you've ever seen.
Well, because we're asking for, because we're demanding a comprehensive review, and we should have that every time. I mean, you know, the real people, and you know, I recognize, I'm not patronizing you or anyone else. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm not doing this for any reason except that there's some strong arguments people are making here. They're not arguments that we should just dismiss. So I'm not, at this point, I can't support this motion if it comes that there's, that we, that there are, there is support for moving ahead, then at a minimum, I think we ought to do what Director Molina said, and that is review those, that first and third items.
And third.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just offer an assurance to the board. This is not a proposal to go back to 1990. In those days, we carried between 60.
Let him finish, then.
We carried between 60 and 70 boardings per hour. Today, we are at 51 boardings per hour. With these changes, we would go to about 54 boardings per hour, well below the rates back 20 years ago. In addition to that, the load ratio in those days that we would use was 1.45 and higher. Under the current plan that we have, we'd be at 1.3, significantly below. Lower load ratios, lower fare box return than San Francisco, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, and other major cities.
Longer wait.
Okay.
We have the item before us. Okay. I'm sorry. Director Wiesar, then Director O'Connor, then Director Yaroslavsky.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and I certainly, in my short 2 years that I've been a board member here, have gone different reasons why we're doing cuts to our bus service. And when the Gold Line opened to the east side, I understood the reasoning to readjust some lines that would no longer be necessary along the routes that the Gold Line will go. But as I look at some of the lines that are being cut right now, or service cuts on the east side, I get different reasoning as to why we have to do that, and I do think we need to better focus on a comprehensive vision for the long term as to what all these cuts have, the impacts of all these cuts. I just want to clarify a couple of lines right now just to make sure there's been a lot of changes in the last few days or the reports that I've seen. In terms of line 71, is that scheduled to be cut or no longer scheduled to be cut?
It's no longer scheduled to be cut.
Okay. And 254, can you explain the reasoning? I've heard several reasons now why that will no longer be in service.
Yeah, we're proposing to eliminate service on line 254 only on Saturdays, and I'm turning to that data real quickly for you. It's a low productivity line. Currently, northbound, there's 191 ons. And southbound, there's 184 offs. A good portion of that line is also duplicated by other metro services, and we were looking at it, too, from the duplicative standpoint. For example, Long Beach Boulevard duplicates the line. Gage duplicates the line. Indiana is duplicated in that part of the line. Line 665 duplicates a portion of the line. So it does have service duplication in certain parts of that.
Got it. And that's Saturday?
Yes, sir.
For Saturday. I got it. And the there's two lines that would go to serve our veterans. One was 83. The other was 577. 83 is no longer proposed to be eliminated.
I'd like to address the 577 for you.
Michelle.
Michelle, can you call up the map, please? The gentleman who spoke referred to the veterans who would be coming from the South Bay, coming from the San Pedro or the Cabrillo Beach area. They'll be coming from the west over to the east, probably on Metro Line 232 or Commuter Express Line 142, which comes from San Pedro via Terminal Island. And they come to downtown Long Beach. And in downtown Long Beach, they can either transfer to our Line 577, or they can actually transfer to 5 better services offered by Long Beach Transit, lines 91, 92, 93, 94, and 96. I happen to live a block off of 7th Street where they operate, which is where line 577 also operates, and I can assure you that Long Beach Transit provides much better service over a greater span 7 days a week than line 577 offers. So they are already coming to downtown Long Beach today to transfer to another bus to get to the VA. So whether it be us or Long Beach Transit, they can still get to the VA.
Are you a veteran, sir?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I had the same concerns about that particular line, and Long Beach Transit does run those multiple lines versus our 577. And I am a veteran, yes. Director O'Connor?
In talking about the information that will be coming back to us, items 1 and 3, could we also get information, just to confirm that all major hospitals and major medical clinics in the county are being served, that schools and community colleges, major destinations, are they still being served, major employment centers, major shopping centers? I think that would be important for us to understand if that is still, is that possible within the realm of what you can do?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay. Director Yaroslavsky and then Director Molina.
I just want to make sure we know what we're doing in on this, the package that's before us now. If we approve this matter as amended, we are moving forward. It would take some action on the part of the board to rescind what we're doing today based on the information that Supervisor Molina is asking for or anybody else is asking for.
Correct.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Okay, Director Molina.
That's a clarification. We get
if we want to change it, that takes additional.
Right now, we have the motion as presented by ourselves. We have the issue as amended by my Commissioner Dubois. Right?
Hi.
Is that correct?
Hi.
It's
on.
It's on.
Is it? Because I want to make sure we.
Well, no, the additional item was to report back on items 2
and 3.
Four.
No, 2 and 3.
2, 4, 6, no later than June, and then report back on items 1 and 3 at the April Operations Committee and Board meeting.
I see. Okay, yes.
Okay?
But I thought Director Wilson had...
Yes, right. We have three things. We have the service cuts themselves. We have the motion that Mel put in, that, and then we have an amendment by Director Dubois. I just want to make sure we understand.
Well, the amendment we're talking about here is to the motion that you, Director Villaraigosa, and Wilson put before us.
Okay.
That's the amendment. So we got that. There is no other motion on the floor.
Right. That is the motion plus
the
original cuts.
Which one are we dealing
cuts.
With first?
The first one we'll be dealing with is the motion as presented by Director Wilson. It's the motion that you were a part of. With that, this motion has been amended. This does not delay anything, but this motion has been amended to say items 2, 4, and 6 will be reported back no later than June 2011 MTA board meeting. On items 1 and 3 will be report back at the April Operations Committee and then to the full board in April. Okay?
But it approves moving forward.
Right, it approves moving forward. It's not the delay.
Yeah, wait. I would say, Director Molina, I mean, I would only consider that one, report back on items 2, 4, 5, and 6. See, because that's actually voting for the original, I mean, the board proposal.
Right.
And so I would rather take that one out right now, vote. I want us to see if we have enough support for the first one, for our
divide the question.
So divide the question, yeah, I guess, and then add that one if there's not support.
Well, what's the first one?
The first one
is
all this.
Is the original motion?
Is our original motion?
Yeah, but it didn't say delay. It just says report back.
No, that's the amended item 7.
No. You look at your last item. Your last item says report back no later than the June. And that's what I told you earlier. I have no problem with the motion reporting back, but that doesn't mean that we don't move forward. No, it doesn't say 30 days.
Motion, not in this.
About that possibility. He didn't put that on the floor because it didn't have a second. Okay?
You got a second
from
me.
Only on the motion, not on the 30-day delay. Well, we have another motion on the floor right now.
I've got all your stuff.
As amended. The motion by Supervisor Molina and DeVoy, which is this motion as amended and item number 7 that you see here. We can pull that off the table and vote up or down on a continuance, if that's what you want to do. Well, excuse me.
But you guys don't get to vote. You know?
I think that's what you should do, Don, is just put the bus cuts on there right now. Have a straightforward decision on that.
Okay.
Then put the second motion
on. All right.
On.
Then the recommendation on item number 20 is to move forward, okay, with the recommendations of staff.
This is straightforward on item 20, on the original.
Okay, this is...
Question?
Yes, yes, sir.
If the staff recommendation is approved, which is what you're proposing to have us vote on first... And what is the relevance of the second motion?
I have no idea.
It's a
wait a minute. It's a point of order, if I may.
I think I have the floor.
Yeah. But
there's
not a point of order.
I'm asking the chair.
Point of order is always
just
in order.
To make, we're pulling off the amended motion with item number 7 to just vote up or down, okay, on item number 20 as recommended by the staff. If that were to pass... Okay.
Second
that,
part.
Then that you could always go back and add this as an amendment.
Yeah. Now okay? Let me ask a point of order, if
okay.
I may, Mr. Chair. Since when did an amendment?
I don't know
how you can do that. Once you've, excuse me, I have the floor. Thank you. When you pass a motion, once it's passed, you can't amend it. You amend it before the main motion passes.
Precisely.
What the mayor has requested is that we not make that an amendment. So what I'm just trying to understand, for everybody's sake, is before we go down that road, it would be my impression that if you voted for the cuts, then you voted for the cuts. To ask for a report back after, I don't know what.
But that's why we want to see what the vote is, Zev. We right now we're saying.
What if? What would you
then
do?
We still could
we
do
could
this as a
motion.
It doesn't have to be an amendment. It could still be
a
motion.
We could still introduce our
you
motion.
You could introduce it as a motion. It doesn't have to be an amendment.
Report back.
Yeah.
I did choose to assert a point of order, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to be recognized accordingly, if I may.
Well, let's see.
All right. Take your time. Take your time, Mr. Chair. Is it not the case? Yeah, take your time, Mr. Chair. It's all right. Let me ask the question. Is it not just standard parliamentary procedure that when a motion is amended, if it has a second, we take up the amended language, dispose of it affirmatively, or it fails to get the requisite votes to be adopted? It would seem to me that the Villaraigosa Molina Wilson motion essentially comes forth as an amendment. And to the extent that it fails, you then move to the other items before us. And I would recommend that we move accordingly. Is that acceptable?
No, it's not acceptable, okay? It's not acceptable.
Let me try again, Mr. Chair, to make it more acceptable.
Excuse me. I will have to ask the maker of the original motion, Mr. Wilson, then was amended by Director Molina and DeVoy, okay? If you want to withdraw the motion with the changes, and then we can vote on the main motion, which is to proceed with the cuts.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I was under the impression that Ms. Molina had asked for a 30-day delay, not till June, and the theory she was operating on was, no, that you get the report back because that would allow you to rescind.
Okay.
Well, it was not a 30-day delay. It just on the items 2 and 4, or 1 and 3, excuse me, the report back, but she says her intent was not to stop the proceeding,
right.
Whatever technical and backroom work that they had to do to get prepared for the cuts, that they proceed on that basis, and this report back on items 1 and 3 would come back in 30 days.
That's correct. And Mr. Leahy objected to it, and then Ms. Dubois suggested that instead we would get the information in 30 days, and if there was information there, we would proceed to rescind some of those actions. That's what I understood it to be.
Okay.
But I still want an up or down.
I have a...
I can't get the answer.
Well, you know what? Let's vote on let's vote on item 20 then, okay? Up or down, then we'll go from there.
Right.
All right?
So that's a no if you're not for the cuts, okay.
Yes vote if you want to proceed as is, and we can always do a new motion. Okay?
Should our motion included the cuts?
Going back to the original.
The original. Got it.
Not the Wilson. This is the motion. This is item 20.
Includes the modification of the 757.
Correct.
207.
Correct. Ms. Molina? That's...
The original motion, right?
No, yeah, the original... You're a no on that. You're a no on the original motion.
Which is this one?
No. Which his. Which is the proposal by staff.
I keep asking for the clarification.
Well, I said item number 20.
I can't change it.
Clear the board.
Please clear the board. Punch in whatever you want to punch in.
She hasn't been able to vote.
Elena is a no vote.
She's a no vote. No.
No vote.
There you go.
Okay, item 20 passes.
So the...
7-7-6. Okay.
So
if you want... Oh, come on, please.
All right. So then now we put the motion on the table. Is that correct?
So now we can...
You can't redo the motion. You can ask for the redo the section, I would assume, as a motion as it relates to what Supervisor Molina requested.
So, as amended, right? The motion that we put in as amended by Commissioner Dubois.
Done. Now you have to do the motion, items 1 and 3.
It's not an amendment. It's a new motion. It's a new motion. It's just directing the staff. That's all. That's all. It's a new motion.
Not make it difficult, folks.
Yeah, come on. It's just...
Well.
Yes.
Okay.
You need a vote on that? Is there any objection?
There's no objection.
With the exception of item number 7. Item number 7 says, in this motion reported back no later than June, change that. That's gone. Because we approved item 20 as presented by the staff. Okay?
Wait, excuse me, but the entire motion, item number 20, which we're going to introduce right now, has a whole series of reports that are going to come back on June the 30th, as I understand, according to this date, June. So we want, and Commissioner Dubois amended it to include that item number 1 and number 3 would come in 30 days. That's just a clarification.
Okay.
What direction is that?
Without objection?
Without objection, but everybody understands.
Report back.
No, it's a report back, but everybody understands that item 20 was passed. Yes, okay. All right. Okay, items 7 and 13 were pulled from the consent calendar. Yes, and there were clarification staff. Director O'Connor.
So just in terms of parliamentary procedure, for it to be reconsidered in the future, it would have to be somebody from the prevailing side of the vote?
Yes, right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, 7 to 13 needed a clarification. I understand from staff it was pulled from consent calendar.
Just wanted to note that Measure R money is available to fund the budget increase and would be so handled.
Okay, Director Yaroslavsky? Director Yaroslavsky, you hear that?
Sorry.
Item 7 to 13.
Measure R, it's Measure R funded. Yes.
Okay, and item 7 to 13, Measure R, will correct?
We have Measure R money. We'll take care of it with Measure R funds.
Okay, and that's part of the record?
7.
Okay. Then item 7, moved by Director Yaroslavsky, the chair of the second, without objection, so order. Item 13.
I just wanted to note, we got some questions that, as regards the historic streetcar, the MTA Metro is not funding any portion of the money needed for the study.
We have not advanced any money for the project. We'd be reimbursed by the City Redevelopment Agency. And there was also some discussion by the board members at the committee that MTA will not use our lobbyist to seek New Starts funding for the streetcar. Those were the... Yes, not for New Starts. Yes, correct.
Okay, the clarification noted. Moved by Director Wilson. Without objection, so ordered. We have two receive and file items. We have information regarding the America Fast Forward Initiative and then the proposed federal bond program.
Mr. Chair, while Rafi's coming up, for some time we've been working on 3010. We always knew that 3010 was an LA-specific name, and we needed something else to label the program with back in Washington. That's what Rafi's going to report on.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this receive and file report is with respect to America Fast Forward. In April of last year, the board adopted a program of accelerating our transit and highway plan. We have adopted two foundational legislative initiatives. One is the TIFI enhancement that we have been working on in Washington, D.C. The second is a bond proposal. As we've moved across the nation and tried to sell our plan, it became clear that the 3010 moniker, which had enormous success here in Southern California, was less than relevant to people in Missoula, Montana, who just endorsed the plan, was less than relevant to people in Jonesboro, Arkansas, who just endorsed the plan, less than relevant to people in New York and Philadelphia and Boston. And so the agency has advanced the idea of America Fast Forward, which is the same concepts of 3010 under a new banner. And that is why this receive and file report is before you today.
Okay. Director Molina, did you sign up for this one?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'll clear it then. Director Villaraigosa, I got you. Don't worry.
Director Villaraigosa. You just heard Jonesboro, Arkansas, Missoula, Montana. There are now almost 100 mayors and cities that have signed on to America's Fast Forward. And as we said in Executive Management Committee earlier this week, Senator Wyden is, in addition to the support for expanding TIFIA, and as you've heard reported, there's a great deal of support for dramatically expanding TIFIA. When the chair and I were at the hearing, the bipartisan hearing that Senator Boxer and Chairman Mica had, when I said that we would, we were proposing a tripling of the TIFIA program, which is the loan program that would allow us to accelerate some of these projects, their response was, why limit it to tripling? Which was good news to us. They both said that. Senator Wyden is proposing a bond program, and we're looking for bipartisan support for that. And we may hear any day now that there is a senator willing to carry a bond. Both of them, as you all know, are needed to help accelerate these programs. At this point, rebranding America Fast Forward is really given us an opportunity to take across the country what we have proposed to do here locally. There are a lot of cities counties that have either put up their own money or are considering putting up their own money to take advantage of a program like this. And I think we are making some forward progress, obviously with all of the machinations that are occurring with respect to the budget. We're still not out of the woods, but I think we're making some good progress.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing I'd...
21 issue. The impact is that could be a big part of this, and we need to continue to fight to restore that as well, too. All right, public comment, item 21, John Walsh. and then Malcolm Klugman.
John Walsh, Hollywood Highlands.org, and formation of anybody but Yaroslavsky for mayor. Anybody.
The opposite last week?
Anybody.
Couldn't he endorse? Wasn't he endorsing?
You know, play games. You lost 30-10.
You're not getting up here and saying, we're going to do everything in 10 years. It's over. This is like the Rosemary's Baby of 30-10. It's gone. You lost. Mayor, 10 years from now, you won't have all these projects done. And so you're playing this little game because you want to save face, and you're not saving face. We said 30-10 was a pipe dream, and it was a pipe dream. So go home, Mayor, and smoke your pipe and come to the meetings.
It's not a pipe dream, and we're working very aggressive on it. Klugman, Mr. Klugman.
I wanted to say that I want to give people a tip who use the subway. When you get on the subway, check your watch and see what time it is and allow 2 minutes between stops, except for the one between Hollywood and Highland and Universal, which is 4 minutes. And that'll tell you how many minutes it's going to take you to get to your stop and when you're going to get there. On that basis, I want to talk about, which you guys have not put forward, is what you do with the extension of the Purple Line out to Westwood. On the basis of 2 minutes per stop, that's going to mean people will be able to get on the subway at 7th and Figueroa and in 20 minutes be at the corner of Westwood and Wilshire. That's going to revolutionize the traffic of this city. It's going to, and if you took a 1 mile swath above and below Wilshire Boulevard, for those people who want to build out in Santa Clarita, let's put it this way, more people live and work along there than in the states, the people in the whole state of Wyoming, North Dakota, and Delaware and some other states. But what you may need to consider is to separate stuff from 3010. If you can't get all the projects done under 3010, do the Wilshire subway under 3010. And maybe one or two other things you can get now. Don't worry if you don't get the whole loaf. Get something.
Thank you. We can all concur with that. Okay, so we just received and filed. Thank you. So ordered. Item 22 is a proposed federal bond program.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this receive and file report concerns prospective legislation by Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon. It is a $50 billion tax credit bond program. It has aspects of it which are remarkably similar to the Qualified Transportation Infrastructure Bond Program that we have been advancing as part of our 3010 Now America Fast Forward initiative. There are a number of characteristics that we think could be remarkably attractive. There are a number of issues that we believe would have to be worked on with the Senator. And so this receive and file report is basically telling you that we're in communication with the Senator's office. He's working to achieve strong bipartisan Republican support on this legislation. And when the legislation, which he has tentatively dubbed the Transportation and Regional Infrastructure Project Bond Act of 2011 is introduced, our agency will bring it before you for your consideration, and we'll have a formal recommendation at that time. I simply wanted, through this receive and file report, to inform you that we're in communication with Senator Wyden's office and that this bond proposal is on the table in Washington, D.C. This bond proposal with respect to the federal government is related to a parallel effort in the state of California, and my colleague Michael Turner and David Yale have been working on a parallel effort on that front, and they're here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions? We have public yes, go ahead.
Proposition 1B, an infrastructure bond program which was approved by the voters in 2006, promised to fund many transportation projects that would improve mobility, economic development. In our county, one project that received over $300 million under the 1B Trade Corridor Improvement Fund in the San Gabriel Trench. Without this funding, the project of major significance which was supposed to be put out to bid for construction this year, will not be able to move forward as planned. Other projects in the county are counting on the Prop 1B for funding. Customarily, the state has held biannual bond sales to support the funding for projects like the San Gabriel Trench. However, with the current fiscal crisis, the state has forced the legislature to cancel the planned spring 2011 bond sale. The planned fall 2011 sale is also threatened to be canceled as well. Cancellation of the fall 2011 1B sale will have a detrimental impact on several projects of MTA's priorities. I would move that the board direct the CEO to return within 30 days with a report that would provide the minimum of the following: an assessment of which of our county projects are impacted by the potential cancellation of Prop 1B bond sales, including impacts to project schedules, funding, and associated cost increases and mobility reductions due to project delays; a comprehensive legislative strategy outlines proactive steps that MTA staff and board can take to ensure the best of our ability that these Prop 1B bond sales proceed as planned; and three, a comprehensive mitigation strategy should those bond sales be canceled.
Give them back there.
Keep LA County projects on current construction schedules as possible, and an outreach plan by our county state legislative delegation that will allow the board to advocate for keeping the fall 2011 Prop 1B bond sales in place, protecting those affected projects.
Second. All right, that's a report back. Okay. Item 22, Mr. Walsh. And just reflecting, item 22 is separate from Supervisor Antonovich's motion, okay?
Yep.
That's the mayor went home. It isn't the first time he's lost here. All he had to do was twist Zev's arm, and he would have got what he wanted. Everybody knows that.
Address the issue, please.
Hey, this is a Wydenville is Rosemary's other baby. If you think you're going to get this through the Republican Congress, you're living in a dream world. It's as if you have prescription speed, and you're speeding on prescription. And if you want to know about prescription speed, I can tell you up here who could tell you about it. And I'm telling you right now, billions for construction, not one damn dime of federal money for operations. St. Louis, 75% of bus service gone. Atlanta, one-third of bus service gone. This is a war not against L.A. This is a race war. And if Bus Riders Union doesn't want to say it, I'll say it. Every one of you is a racist who voted the wrong way.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. It's always kind. So with that, we'll receive and file, and it's been moved and seconded for a report back on Supervisor and Director Antonovich's motion. Okay? Okay, now we'll go to public comments. All right, Antonio Lopez, followed by Giovanni Giusti, followed by Dennis Allen. This is a regular public comments prior to us going into closed session. Okay, thank you, Malcolm.
Buenos días, mesa directiva.
Good morning to the board.
Lo que hemos visto que son, hay muchos planes con mañas y bola de capitalistas rateros.
We have been able to see that they have a lot of tricky plans.
El dinero que existe es para los programas y para todos que se les pague aquí a todos.
The money that is available is for the programs and
pero
to pay
no
all the salaries here.
Para disparar y mandar familias a diferentes partes de sus y también no es para ponerle mucho más peso a la ciudad o que se aprovechen como como se está aprovechando
MTA.
MTA es nada más una agencia pobre. No tiene derecho de qué.
MTA is a poor agency.
Por eso dice Olvera.
And doesn't have the right.
De allá aprovecharse o hacer de aquellos bienes que están allá culturales de diferentes razas no tienen el derecho.
Of the different cultures.
Alto allí, de la calle para acá, ustedes de la calle para allá, allá. Eso es de los pueblos y de las gentes culturales.
They don't have the right. This is.
Y también.
For the people.
No eleve más la gasolina, no pasa de estar a $2.50, porque es una bola de ratas que está, dice, recortando, pero recortando mis bolsillos. Don't y la gente
don't increase the price of the
están
gas.
Le están robando. ¿Qué quieren también?
Muchas
o sea, muchas palabras y en 60 segundos, muchos temas en 60 segundos. Es lo que se tiene que hacer. También no valen las casas. ¿Por qué? ¿Porque quieren ustedes que se vayan las gentes pobres a dormir debajo de los puentes? No es justo.
Yeah.
Soy Antonio López y gracias, señores. Dios que les ayude en el
I'm
corazón
Antonio López.
Todos ustedes.
Thank you. They shouldn't increase the prices of the houses because poor people will have to go and sleep under the bridge. Thank you.
Giovanni Giusti, citizen of L.A. and resident of Westlake MacArthur Park District. I'm also a member of Amnesty International and the Inner City Surfers of Los Angeles. I am a public transportation dependent, and I'm here today to propose surf racks on all bus lines. My reasons for this are to give inner city school programs and athletic programs more options, sends a positive message from the city, brings money to the beach communities, creates social and spiritual unity, expands programs for all ages. I am also pro bus riders union and their proposal for a $20 monthly pass, 50 cent fare, freeze on all rail funding, and all clean energy buses. This fights classism and racism and needs to be done as soon as possible.
You might want to look at the idea about surfboards. There might be a way to make our bicycle racks interchangeable or something. So, Dennis Allen? I would imagine all.
Interchangeable boards.
Still here? No. Sharar Targeri, or did I say that right? Honestly, not a lawyer. Kurt Gibbs? Is Kurt here? John Walsh? I know John's here. Followed by Jose Rodriguez. And then Brad Torgan.
To our website, anybody but Yaroslavsky for mayor.com. This was an enormous defeat for the mayor, but he's in a series of defeats. Bus Riders Union did an excellent job of bringing it this far. We've never gotten within one vote of these massive service cuts. They did an excellent job. I hope you saw what happened in the tsunami and the earthquake. There was rail disaster. All the rail was down. It's still down. And when they showed on CBS Evening News, the reporter, 2 days after the tsunami in Tokyo live, behind him, you know what you see? You see a Tokyo bus. The Tokyo buses came right back after the earthquake and then thousands of people waiting for the rail. You know what? I was born a Christian and I was taught that Jesus Christ is my Savior. But these people are secular humanists, and they have replaced Jesus Christ with rail.
Jose Rodriguez. Jose Rodriguez, Brad Torgan.
Good morning again. My name is Jose Rodriguez. I would like to give a message to Mr. Mel Wilson. I know you have some authority with LADOT. What do you think the last year they increased the fares for Dash and Commuter Express? And it's not even a year. It's going to be 11 months where they're thinking about another fare increase. But I've been making comments to improve those services that really affect us. And when I make a comment, even though something really simple like adding a stop, they haven't done nothing about that. There's a lot of things you can look to fix the commuter express and even some of the Dutch. They don't look into that. They're only thinking about fare increase. We just have a fare increase last year, not even a year. 11 months, again another fare increase. We're going to end up everybody under the bridge. Come on, please do something about it. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Our board will take your comments. Thank you. Brad Torgan.
Mr. Kanabe, my name is Brad Torgan from the Silverstein Law Firm here on behalf of George Brocate. While this is public comment, it also refers to item 7, which was before you on your consent calendar. As you may be aware, we filed litigation challenging the supplemental EIR for Phase 2. I've been asked to inform you that this week we filed and served additional litigation challenging the proposed sale by the Monrovia Redevelopment Agency of property that owns to the Gold Line Authority for construction of the M&O facility, with Metro as a real party in interest to the litigation. We believe Monrovia didn't tell the Gold Line Authority, and probably didn't tell you as well, of the existence of a 2004 settlement agreement in prior litigation with Mr. Brocate that effectively precludes the use of that property for that use. The settlement agreement precludes Monrovia from bringing eminent domain action against the Brocate property or causing to be brought eminent domain action against the property by a third party. Monrovia's sale of its property explicitly for the purpose of the M&O facility will clearly lead to the authority filing an action to take the Brocate's property, which is also needed for the M&O facility. We also question the sale price of 3 times the appraised value as an unconstitutional gift of public funds, and we believe investigation and audit by Metro is warranted.
Thank you.
I do have copies for the Secretary if any of you have a burning desire to read either the complaint or the settlement agreement.
Okay, we'll ask, direct that to our county council, and you can comment on it for us. Okay, with that, you read us into closed session if we need to. We're going to adjourn to closed session.
Okay, the MTA board will now adjourn into closed session to consider the items set forth on the agenda for closed session.
Thank you all for your cooperation today. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.